All right, welcome everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in our series, How to Survive in the Kingdom of God. Today's message is The Law of Cause and Effect, Part 2. I am Dr. Mary Craig. This is a live teleservice, October 17, 2021. And let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. And we thank you, Lord. We cannot thank you enough times, Lord God, and praise you for your plan of redemption. And Lord, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world, Lord. And we thank you for his life of radical obedience, perfect personal perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross, as payment in payment for our sin, satisfying divine justice and bearing the wrath of God and all the things, bringing reconciliation. We thank you, Lord God, for all of what Jesus Christ has accomplished in our behalf. We thank you, Lord, that he lived the life, he died the death, he was buried, he rose again from the dead, which is how we are accepted in Christ, in the Beloved. And Lord, we thank you that he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Almighty, that he will judge what is living and what is dead. And Lord God, we thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would come now as the Spirit of truth to guide us into the truth of your word, as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to reveal Jesus Christ to us, but help us especially in this study, in this series, to have wisdom to understand, comprehend, and perceive your ways, that they are not totally unknowns, that you work in marvelous ways and mysterious ways, but your ways are not so unknown to us that everything is a big surprise and we cannot connect the dots. Because, Lord God, in your word, you have examples of how to connect the dots. And you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You do not change. And Lord, so we ask for that help today. And we come, Lord, in all humility before you. And we ask, Lord, that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds, that we would put on the new man, the new person we are in Christ, which was created according to you, Lord God, in true righteousness and holiness, that you would sanctify us by your word and by your spirit, that we might open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace. And Lord, we ask that we might love with faith from the God and Father, you, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So how does knowing about the law of cause and effect help us to live in the kingdom of God today? Let's examine the scriptures that we might live better in the kingdom of God. We have established that God is the sovereign first cause, but we also have our part. Man is a responsible agent. We are free moral agents, and we have a choice. We can obey God and receive the blessings of his promises, or we can disobey and receive the consequences of that choice. We have a cause and effect relationship. People are a secondary cause with an effect, but God is the sovereign primary cause always. And we were looking at a few examples, and so today we're going to continue looking at more examples. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, For even hereunto were you called before Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. We know from 3 John 7, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Genesis 41:52, and the name of the second child called he Ephraim, or Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. That's what Joseph said when he was released from the prison. And much happened with Pharaoh in Joseph's life, and you can read about it in Genesis. Joseph had a second child, and he gave glory to God, and he established God as that sovereign cause. God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. God's cause had an effect. Isaiah 48:21, and they thirsted not when he led them through the desert. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the water gushed out. So God was a sovereign cause. He caused something, and he had a cause that had an effect. The waters flowed out of the rock because God caused it to happen. Isaiah 63, verse 17, O Lord, why have you made us to, it's really E-R-R, but most people say to err, from your ways, and hardened our heart from your fear? Return for your servant's sake the tribes of your inheritance. Now here is a prayer, because there is an acknowledgement that God is sovereign and he is doing all his good pleasure. Remember, God has the power to enforce all of his own authority. He can do whatever he wants. He has the power. He has the authority. He is lawgiver, king, and judge. He is the creator, and he takes pleasure in all his creation, and he takes pleasure in all he does. He has a desired result as well. Jeremiah 29, verse 7 and verses 13 to 14. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. And pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace. And you shall seek me and not read, and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Now note how the people become a secondary cause, with God giving the effect of blessing for obedience and otherwise. Also, you might want to read Jeremiah 29, the whole chapter, to note all of God's promises there. Jeremiah 32, verse 23, and they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not your voice, neither walked in your law. They have done nothing of all that you commanded them to do. Therefore, that was the cause, here's the effect. Therefore, you have caused all this evil to come upon them. So the people did something, they did not obey, and then because of that, God caused all this evil to come upon them. All right. As these people did, so God did unto them. There was a cause and effect relationship. In fact, a lot of times you can go through, and when you're reading a story in the Old Testament, sometimes you can go back just prior to that time in whatever is going on, and you can find that cause and effect. What you'll find is that when you're reading, that what you're reading is the effect of something that happened prior to that incident. So there's a cause and effect relationship going on all the time. We need to remember this in our own lives because sometimes we're living under the effect of something that has happened because of our ancestors or in the family line. And so we want to go back to what we call the seed and the root of something. We want to go back and think about this law of cause and effect in the relationship. Well, we can't just blame it on the ancestors. We have to also see what's been going on in our own lives. We are accountable. We are the responsible agent, and we are accountable. But we can go back into the histories of our families and even kind of come up with, where did this start? Where did this come in? They're called familiar spirits, demonic entities that are familiar with the family. Familiar spirits, they're family in the families. And some generation along the way has to say, it stops now with me in this generation. It stops now with me in this generation. And we have to be absolutely firm in it and mean it. We cannot be wishy about it and wishy-washy. And we need God's grace. We need His grace and His strength to pull it off. This stops now with me in this generation. And then you can see it. You'll see it. I'm not going to get into the stories about it in our lives, but you'll see it. Now, I'd like you to listen very carefully to a very important principle going on throughout Scripture from Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18. And I encourage you, if you have Bibles nearby or whatever, or you can walk with your phone and get your Bible and turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. I call it God's foreign policy. It's how He deals with nations. And it might explain a lot about what's going on. As we do, God will do. Man is a responsible agent, a free moral agent. Man is a secondary cause. God is a sovereign first cause. Okay. Jeremiah 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will announce my words to you. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does? Declares the Lord, behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to uproot, to pull down, or to destroy it, if, now this is an if then, because part of cause and effect is if, dot, 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 then, dot, dot, dot. If that nation against which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity I plan to bring on it. And that planned is past tense. I will relent concerning the calamity I planned to bring on it. So now then, speak to the men of Judah and against the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am fashioning calamity against you and devising a plan against you. Oh, turn back, each of you, from his evil way. Turn back, each of you, from his evil way, and reform your ways and your deeds. But they will say, It's hopeless, for we are going to follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. Unquote. And it goes on, and it's well worth reading it. See how God has already established by decree how he is going to handle us, how he is going to handle his people in different situations. This is already established. So if he comes out with some message or word of the Lord, as we do, he will do. It's a back and forth thing. What we do has an effect. There's a cause and effect relationship going on back and forth. We must understand this, that a lot of these promises of God and the blessings of God are conditioned upon our obedience. And remember, as we believe, that's how we obey. We obey according to what we truly believe. If we believe God that he's telling the truth, and we believe in those promises, which is faith, if we believe, then we will act accordingly. And that action is our obedience. We obey what we believe. This includes the warnings and exhortations from the Lord. When we do not obey, it's because we do not believe that what God says will happen as the consequences of our choices. God is the sovereign cause, and we also have our part. Here we see a relationship of covenant. It is establishing the covenant and the kingdom of God, which is to be preached to all creation. Remember, we have potential in the promise of God. We release that potential by starting out, stepping out in obedience. As we do, the eye of faith sees with the mind of Christ. The eye of faith sees that storehouse in heaven reserved there. With our mind set on heavenly things, we go ahead and bless. We go ahead and we give. We go ahead and sow seeds. We go ahead and do unto others as we would have them do unto us. We go ahead and forgive. We go ahead and love the unlovely. We go ahead and are kind to the ungrateful and evil. We love because God, the sovereign cause, has loved us. He initiated action that has an effect. His actions result in our response, and put a little, forget what it's called, hyphen, I guess. Response hyphen ability. Response ability. To reflect and conform to the image of Christ. God is merciful. We have received of that mercy. We can be merciful as he is merciful as we step out in the strength and power of the Holy Spirit. Now, as a new creation in Christ Jesus and being conformed to his image, we go ahead and initiate action that will have its effect. But instead of serving Satan, self, and the world, we choose to serve the living God. We do things his way, God's way, for his kingdom, God's kingdom, asking him, God, to direct our steps. We must decide to stop reacting, being the effect of causes from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and start acting in response to God's cause. It is the way faith works. In a sense, we are the cause of what happens to us. This is why God holds us accountable. It is the way he works. Now, one thing that has helped me throughout my Christian walk is a verse from 1 Kings 12:24, which says, This thing is from me, And so I would have a message for you today, and that is, have you ever thought of it, that all that concerns you concerns God also? You know, the Bible says that what touches us touches God, for we are the apple of his eye. We are precious in his sight. I think it helps to know that verse from 1 Kings 12:24. This thing is from me, from God. Whatever happens to us, temptations, or when the enemy comes in, this thing is from God. Whatever we need, he is. And because he is, we have. I'll say that again. Because he is, we have. When we are in difficult circumstances or are surrounded by people who don't understand us or who never consult us or put us in the background, they put us in the background, you know, remember, this thing is from God. He is the God of circumstances. He is the sovereign first cause of all things. And so we need to remember to respond to God and not to react. God would have us to draw from and depend upon him. His supplies are without limit. Now, right now, in our country and really globally, they call it a supply chain disruption. and we have shortages, right? Depending on where you live, the shortages are slight or severe, depending. And they're just beginning. And it's not just in the United States of America. It's all over. Some people have lived with these kinds of shortages for years because it's very common in communist nations that you go in and, oh, today there's only bread. Tomorrow there's, you know, only cornflakes or something. I don't know. But it's like that. They don't know. In England during World War II, each person, there was a rationing, you know, and each person got one potato. One potato, that's what they ate for the whole day. And, you know, and it can be severe, it can be slight, but we've had abundance. I think it's been because so that God has let us know that he is the God of abundance. And but right now, we're seeing the consequences of really poor management and poor leadership, the leadership we have right now on a lot of levels. Okay, but God's supplies are without limit. He would have us to trust his promises. Let it not be said of us, in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God. So we need to hope in God, for we will yet praise him who is the help of our countenance and our God. I'm going to close here with some scripture. The first is Psalm 43, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. For I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wounds, saith the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeks after. Jeremiah 33, verse 6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And now I want to do 2 Chronicles 7:14, but I want to back up to put this in context to starting with 2 Chronicles 7, verse 11. When Solomon had finished the house of the Lord and the royal palace successfully, carrying out all that was in his heart to do for the house of the Lord and for his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I close the sky so there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send a plague among my people, and if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open. This is God talking. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. For I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. 2 Chronicles 7:11-16. And we realize that this is what God said to Solomon and for Israel. But we can see in this the heart and the mind of the Lord, and we need to gain in wisdom. We need to be wise. And it goes on. And as for you, this is verses 17 to 22. And as for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, doing all I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and ordinances, then I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted with your father David, when I said, you will never fail to have a man to rule over Israel. But if you turn away and forsake the statutes and commandments I have set before you, and if you go off to serve and worship other gods, then I will uproot Israel from the soil I have given them, and I will banish them from my presence, this temple I have sanctified for my name. I will make it an object of scorn and ridicule among all the peoples, plural. And when this temple has become a heap of rubble, all who pass by it will be appalled and say, why has the Lord, the covenant Lord, done such a thing to this land and to this temple? And others will answer, because they have forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and have embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. Because of this, he, God, has brought all this disaster upon them. And so overall, we're talking about 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 11 to 22. Okay, and I want to say this, that we can be thankful that in God's grace, God, the Creator, is also the Redeemer and initiated the way of redemption to redeem a people for himself from every tribe and kindred and nation and language and ethnic group and whatever, all kinds of people from all over the planet. And we be thankful for that. He sent Jesus out of his love that we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in him. We believe him And we must get to the place where we believe what Jesus believes. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the truth. Jesus believes. He has a system of belief. And we are to come into that. We call it the faith. The faith. It's what Jesus believes. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And it is because of Jesus and what he has done that we are accepted by God the Father. We have a relationship because of Jesus with God the Father as Father. We all that we have is in Christ, the Beloved. We are accepted. We have had our sins forgiven because of Christ. We are reconciled to the Father because of Christ. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb because it's Christ, his sacrifice, his sacrifice. We are now the temple of the Lord. We have been bought with a price, and our life is not our own. The wrath of God has been propitiated, meaning Jesus took the wrath of God. Jesus satisfied divine justice. He took the penalty for sin. He suffered in our place and on our behalf. And he triumphed over Satan and the kingdom of darkness. He did all that. Jesus Christ did that. So that all of the law is fulfilled in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We receive the garment of righteousness of Jesus Christ by imputation. It's laid to that his righteousness is laid to our account. And Adam's sin and our sin is laid to the account of Jesus. But Jesus had no personal sin, and death could not hold him. He came in the power of an endless life, and he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And we need to praise him for it, and we need to thank him for it, because what he did has an effect. The effects of what he did bring blessing to us. And we are not to be fooled when Satan comes up with his little schemes. Don't be fooled. And then we won't be foolish. Let's pray. Father God, we give you the praise and we give you the glory. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you. We bless your name. And as the forces of darkness are doing everything they can and they're building up to their unholy day, the top of their day or the bottom of hell, Lord, we thank you that the gates of hell do not prevail against the called out ones, the ecclesia, against Christ and the called out ones. And we thank you of all that the Father has given Jesus Christ. He says and he believes he will lose none. So we thank you, Lord God, today. And we ask you to bless us as we receive the benediction. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hebrews 13:20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.